Hello and welcome to the Video Game Podcast from Cold Omaha. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Tom Schreier, John Carson, and Max Hamilton. It's been a pretty busy news week, so let's get things started right away with Rainbow Six Siege. Max, I think you're the only one who's actually gotten to try out the beta so far, so do you want to tell us what you think?
Yeah, so right off the bat, super disappointing. Was excited for it. They did come out and announce that there's not going to be a campaign. Fine, then right. You better have some fantastic multiplayer.
Sure.
So Terrorist Hunt is available. You can play that solo. It's all right, pretty meh, but they have, it's nothing new, you know, it's the same old Terrorist Hunt we've always had. I will say the AI is freaking intelligent. They did a fantastic job with that.
So for people who aren't huge Rainbow Six guys,
yes.
What is the Terrorist
Hunt
mode?
So Terrorist Hunt is basically 1 to 4 players taking on, a varying number of AI-controlled terrorists. It's a fairly large map. You kind of have to use the typical tactical gameplay, a little bit of stealth. You can customize your weapons and things like that.
Sure.
Anyways, the meat and potatoes of this, which right now is not seeing much, is the online competitive multiplayer. So the way it works is it's teams of 5. You have the counter-terrorists and the terrorists. And the only version available right now is the demo they debuted when the game was revealed in a house, and terrorists have taken control, and there's a bomb. So you have to work together as a team to locate the bomb and defuse.
Sure.
So the draw of the game was supposed to be, everything's going to be destructible, and you can play C4 on anything, and walls and mm-hmm. floors, and just kaboom.
Yeah, I remember seeing somebody rushing a staircase at the level, and somebody got shot through the wall.
Really cool idea, but you can only put the satchel charges on certain objects, so doors and windows, and walls can be shot through and kind of destroyed with a hammer, but it's just not as destructible as even Battlefield 4, as they led you to believe. Right. It's super, it's just disappointing. Because when you know the area that the enemy could come through, it's much less tactical than that wall could come down on me at any point,
right.
You know?
How is the actual multiplayer, though, from that sense? Is the co-op, enjoyable?
Yeah, so it's fun. People communicate. There was a little bit of team killing, which was annoying. There's friendly fire is off. Quick games. They're a few minutes each, so you only have one life, but you get thrown right back in. I had no connection server problems, so that's good. I will say it's interesting, though. In the other games, you could unlock guns, customize them. In this game, you unlock characters, and each character has a different loadout, which you can customize to an extent. But one guy, I forget his name, I think it's Hammer or something. He comes with a hammer, so he can break down doors and walls quicker. And so you have, it's kind of the upcoming Black Ops 3, for those of you more familiar with that, where you unlock characters now instead of, guns. So I guess that's the trend we're starting to see.
Sure. It actually kind of reminds me of Dirty Bomb, where they have
there's
12 classes, and each of them is a character who's basically named their role.
Right. Perfect comparison, because that's exactly what they're going for. So as you rank up, then you can unlock different characters.
That might be a little bit easier to balance in the long run.
Definitely. I think so, although I do have some slight concerns, because you said you unlock them as you level up. You're unlocking classes. That I don't like.
Everyone
that.
Has a bunch of base classes, and the way it works is there's 6 different countries represented with their counter-terrorist units. So U.S. has FBI, SWAT, and stuff like that. So you pick your country, and then each one has some specialized units, and then each unit has a couple different guns you can choose from. So that's how you narrow everything down.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty cool, though. It fun. Is it still fun?
It is fun. It's your Rainbow Six multiplayer. You're climbing up on buildings, rappelling into stuff, blowing things up, using teamwork to stun and coordinate, and use your robotics to roll under doors and recon and everything. It's cool. It is fun. I hope they don't charge $60 because content-wise,
they'll charge $60 for that.
Seems $60 worth to me.
I mean, yes, no, maybe. I don't know. I was just a little put off I feel like they oversold what the experience was going to be
It's funny you should say that, only because I, for some reason, maybe I just missed a lot of the marketing for it, but I was not super expectant for destructible environments. My big thing was the little, like, kind of the robots that can go under the doors and you can, like, peek in and talk, tell your teammates, you know, oh, they're coming up the stairs or whatever, or, like, shooting through the walls I really liked, because they were just, like, I saw it was the counter-terrorists were trying to come up the stairs,
right.
And the terrorists, you know, were at the top of the stairs, and so it was like a standoff until one of the terrorists figured out he could, like, shoot through a wall at an angle and just wipe out everyone down the stairs.
Yep.
And then when the counter-terrorists went, oh, I have a grenade launcher, and shot it through the hole in the wall. So that was pretty, like, it looks like there's some level of destructibility.
Oh, there
at
is.
Least, but I hear what you're saying. It's no just
But you're not right. knocking out, like, the support structure.
No, and taking
like
a house down on them or something.
Right.
I will say what does add to the experience is play with your friends, have a good team. Because, you know, the matches I was in where everyone was just going free-for-all and on their own, Lone Ranger and stuff, it was unenjoyable. Everyone just got wiped out immediately.
Yep. Interesting. Well, I'm going to have to check that out. Hopefully, I can weigh in on my thoughts on it next week because I love a beta. But yeah, moving on, we had some interesting new news about how Fallout 4 is going to be handling their special and perks. It seems like it seems very organic, as they always try to do, and it's basically, it looks like as you level up your special stat, perks are tied to the current level of each stat respectively, and then there are sub-perks
right.
to yep. each perk that you can continue to sort of specialize in, and you won't be able to get, I don't think, all of them as usual, but it seems like an interesting system. To be honest, I don't really like it, because what it translates to me is a little less freedom in choice, because I do like to do non-conventional character builds, and just because I went for 6 strength because I wanted to be able to use snipers
sure.
doesn't mean that I necessarily want to have, like, you know, melee-related perks.
Mm-hmm.
But so I really do hope that they have a huge number of perks to choose from. Like, I hope that it's not like level 6 is just like a flat, you can now, you know, do more melee damage or something
so
like that.
I did, to speak to that, I did watch the developer do some commentary about it, and basically, so the way it works is you have your special, and you choose the numbers that go into each one. So each special has 10 ranks,
yep.
and each of those 10 ranks represents another ladder of perks, and they're going to each have 10 levels or so. So at the end of the day, there should be 127 perks, and there's no level cap. So let me go this way.
Well, but there is a special cap, right?
There is not. There's a way later in the game to increase your special is what
past
they have said.
Past 10?
Not past 10, but 10 is all you need.
Well, sure. Okay, sure.
So, but they haven't come out with detail about if you can max them all out or if there's a limit or what the process is, but they did say later in the game there are ways to increase special permanently. So, like, if you put 3 points into strength, that means you have access to the three tiers.
Yep.
And each tier level has 10 levels
oh.
to upgrade within.
Wait, is it linear though, or is it branching?
Like it's linear. It's linear.
Okay.
So it's like if you're looking at it as a column, strength is linear levels 1 through 10, but then you pick each.
No,
level
that's not what I meant. I meant
oh.
can you pick and
choose from those sub perks?
Yes.
No,
like
oh, no.
Like I'm so if you say I'm level 1, do I have multiple perks to choose from for the level 1 tier?
No, but there's 10 levels, but you have to unlock them in order.
So basically, there's 10 levels, and then there's 10 perks.
Right.
And so, okay, so each perk is, like, pretty
right.
much chosen
better
for
way
you
to
some extent.
But yeah, so unless there's some stuff they haven't revealed yet, yeah, it does
yeah.
seem like you have to, and it's kind of like in order of badass.
I hope they still have those perks that, like, oh, I was irradiated and then healed myself, and all of a sudden
yep,
I have
yeah.
this weird.
A bunch of stuff is returning.
Perks.
A lot
so,
of
well,
the,
but those how I mean those are perks that wouldn't be tied to your
right. That's tied from an experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Your level.
Like if you get irradiated a ton, you can unlock the perk that makes it so that when you're heavily irradiated, you regenerate damage less.
So
for
I can't speak to that specific one, but they did say
right.
there will be I think 27 or more. Probably I it's a large number, but. Perks that you get only through books and magazines out in the world, and they're permanently unlocked.
Oh,
so
like
that will not be attached to
that's
your special.
That's where I'd like to see something like the Lady
yeah.
Killer or the...
Although, please don't bring back Lady Killer.
Well, Lady yeah. Killer is in it. It's in the tiers.
Worst perks. Lady Killer. And what was the other... What's the other one? It's Lady Killer and... oh, gosh. I can't remember. Because there's a
Dude
male
Buster.
And a female variant. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I hope that they don't, you know... Bethesda has a habit of every time they release a new property, be it in the Elder Scrolls series or in the Fallout series. They simplify stuff a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I just hope they don't oversimplify. I better not only have small guns, and it better not encompass like small energy weapons in this one or something.
But I would like, if you're leveling up your intelligence, that you get like your energy weapon stuff within that tier. But,
exactly. Well,
my question is, why did they change it? It feels like the old system worked just fine.
Probably to streamlining purposes.
Streamlining and to probably appeal to a more casual audience as well is generally why they do that kind of stuff. I mean, for the same reason that axes are now considered blunt weapons in Skyrim, which is ridiculous.
That doesn't make sense. Unless you turn it around.
Well, in Skyrim, almost everything's a double-headed battle axe anyway, so just poke them with it.
What didn't you like about Lady Killer? And I feel
it's,
like it was...
It's a flat stat bonus, and there are very limited dialogue bonuses with it. Mm-hmm. It's basically a waste of a perk, in my opinion, unless you're going for a very specific... Like, there are a couple events that you can only get out of them non-violently, for example. An example, this isn't Lady Killer, but there's a...
Bachelor, by the way.
Confirmed Bachelor, thank you. But there's one that, Child at Heart, I believe, that in Fallout 3, minor spoilers, Fallout 3, when you are going to the slave camps, there are they have, you know, the children's, like, bunker place where it's the child city. When you first go in there, you can use the Child at Heart perk to basically bluff your way in without having to do anything, like any quests for them or anything. So those kinds of perks are okay, I guess, but I'm also of the mind, I had Child of Heart when I first did that, and I was like, no, I want to go get experience and go do this dungeon. Like, I don't want to skip this. So that is my other take on it. I don't know. I like perks that change the way you play, not like perks that are flat bonuses to the opposite gender. It just seems odd.
Yeah, I feel like they maybe should do a better job explaining to what's going to happen. I mean, I understand that there has to be some mystery around how the dialogue tree will end up affecting the outcome, but I feel like they could have, you know, like Dragon Age and Mass Effect do a better job of that.
Well, and it looks like they're taking cues from Dragon Age and Mass Effect in this one with the ability to, like, walk away from people while they're talking to you. But what I'm curious, I would like that to be my way to control the interaction, not new dialogue options, but rather the way that I choose to treat the dialogue. Mm-hmm. Just a thought, but honestly, I'm still very excited. This isn't a negative by any means, because none of us really know too much about it.
We won't know until we play
it, really. Once we get our hands on it, we can say a little bit more, but I am ever excited. This is actually, believe it or not, I'm trying to think, I think this is the first real Fallout news almost since 4 was announced.
Yeah,
they've kind of let it sit.
They've been releasing weekly videos on the specials.
That is true. That is true.
Which it led up to their full
spy and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy those. Oh, that's great. All right, well, Fallout 4, pretty exciting, coming out, and I think it's only like 5 or 6 weeks now, so everybody get ready, and
put in your time off request.
Yes, and we will most certainly be doing a special podcast.
Guys, I can't be here that Thursday.
Yeah, none of us can be here that week.
I mean,
we're
pretty certain this game is going to be good, right? I mean, there's a lot.
I'd be very surprised if this isn't in the top 3 game of the year. I really am. Just because of like the base building and the gun customization alone, honestly.
Yeah, the only thing I really hope is it's not like, I know people like The Witcher and Metal Gear Solid, but it's not, they had significant breaks in the game. You know, in both those. That got patched, I'm just saying.
Well, it's a Bethesda game, so it will be broken at launch,
they said,
but that's okay.
It's done, and they're polishing it now, so they have basically a month plus to
get
it done.
I'm sure that it will continue to be patched.
Half the enjoyment, I would argue, out of those games.
Certainly. Well, and on top of that, if you're getting it for PC, anything you don't like about the game is not really an issue because of mods. So
fix it. Someone will take care of it for you.
Yes, exactly.
For free, hopefully.
Exactly. Yes, I really hope for free.
I'm pretty sure they're going to start
I'm
that
pretty
Steam
positive
mod
they
stuff.
Are too. Yep. Yeah, but shh. All right. So also in the news, here's a little minor one. Project Spark is going to be becoming 100% free in the not-too-distant future.
Kind of surprised this wasn't free from the beginning.
Well, isn't it like... I know it's heavily microtransactioned. Is there also a barrier to entry? You have to pay like $60?
No, free to download.
No, it originally started off as like a $40 or $60 game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then gradually came down, and now it's going to be... Is it free today, or is it...
It is to be transitioned. Okay. So anyone that has put money into the game at any point in its history will receive credit for the Microsoft Store for every dollar they've spent.
Cool.
That's actually shockingly nice of them. Yeah. Like, just for anyone who may... like be wondering about that, you know, when Team Fortress 2 went free to play, I sure as hell did not get my money back for that.
Did you get a hat?
I think I got like a badge or something. Like a
did it make
card.
You feel better?
Did you get a fish to hit someone
I
with?
I don't know. I don't. Even, I don't even like the current. honestly, and I know a lot. I'm going to probably get a lot of hate from this, but I don't really care for the current iteration of Team Fortress 2.
No,
I liked it better in.
You've
the
talked
old
about
days.
Wanting to like. Load up a vanilla version yeah, of it and just yeah. play that, which I would mean, be awesome.
Yeah, I don't like all the collectible stuff. I would almost rather it still had the barrier of entry too, because there's a lot of undesirables that play that game.
Yep.
But yeah, so Project Spark's going to be 100% free to play. For those who are wondering what the heck is that, how have I not heard about it? Well, it's because it was a huge flop. It's Microsoft's version of it's the Xbox version of like Gary's Mod. It's a kind of a game within a game maker within a game where
I think it kind of was going for a Sackboy, a Little Big Planet.
Yes, yes.
Sure. Competition.
Yeah,
they,
definitely.
They had something similar on 360. The name escapes me right now, but this seems to be the successor to that.
Wasn't Spark on 360 at some
no,
point?
No.
Okay.
No. It was something else that was just like it though.
Sure. And but, so the consensus seems to be though that the core mechanics of it are just not there.
It's, right. Yep. And I've seen a couple arguments, you know, regarding timing that with the popularity of Mario Maker that it's trying to kind of
oh, I'm sure it
gained
is.
Gained some, yep. yeah, traction in the level editor world. But it's just, even the best stuff out there, it's not fun. It's not, it doesn't control well. It's just a very bare bones game editor.
Yep. And that's about it on Project Spark, honestly, mm-hmm. you guys. So we're going to move things on to something horrifying. So, Call of Duty Black Ops 3. They had a bit of a teensy snafu on Twitter this week when they changed their Twitter, their like official Twitter handle to a, it was supposed to be like a news corporation aggregate site that was reporting that the Philippines was under martial law and that people
crap.
Were dying. And,
Singapore was
Singapore, I'm sorry,
under martial law.
Apologies. Yeah. Singapore. And apparently, people were freaking out about it until they eventually, without any real apology, just switched the account back, like, at the end of their little promotional run. And they were just like, yeah, get hyped for Call of Duty.
Right. I mean, they didn't switch it back, to be clear, from the reaction. That was the end of their little story. And
no,
then
that's
what
I'm saying. Yeah.
Right, right. They left their final tweet was like, you've just received insight into the world of Call of Duty 3 and, like, or Black Ops 3. But
welcome to World War II.
Yeah, exactly.
The big thing then is like, you know, was it in poor taste? Is any press good press? And they have millions of followers, and it got retweeted. Holy crap! Numerous times, and for people that didn't notice, because it did still read at Call of Duty under their title, but still, you miss that when you see the breaking news.
When it's also Twitter, it's so fast that people probably just saw a little bit.
Exactly.
And anyone on Twitter will believe if a celebrity passes away, if someone big mentions it.
If it's on the internet, it must be true.
Right.
I mean, it is. I mean, I don't think there's any question that this was an incredibly bad taste. Yeah. I mean, some guy thought he was a genius coming up with this idea, and no one told him.
They should have made a YouTube video or something to kind of describe their setting.
I mean,
the interesting thing is there's been no public statement from them.
Oh, good.
That
so
is
they're,
what I was saying.
They're 100% on board.
Yeah, it's crazy, especially because, I mean, the thing to keep in mind is that even if you're saying, like, well, I mean, wasn't it obvious or, like, you know, couldn't, like, why would you, it's a new Twitter, you know, person that you've never seen before and suddenly they're showing up in your feed and this and this and that. But
stuff gets retweeted.
Yep,
and
stuff gets retweeted. And on top of that, if you have family that lives out there, you know, it's not. You're not stopping to vet the tweet. You're calling your family immediately. And so, like, I don't know. I can't possibly think of a way to defend this. This is just, like, viral marketing gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Well, my question is, what advantage do they gain? Because I feel like
everyone is talking about it, and it's increasing business, and, like, people are looking into Call of Duty and researching it. Like, outsiders that had nothing to do with the gaming world are hearing about this, and then, you know, it generates word of mouth.
Yeah, I'm just saying, of people who are going to buy it, I feel like people, you know, there's already a lot of hype because there's so many people who love Black Ops and Call of Duty. And then you have a lot of people that don't like it anyways, and I feel like are you really improving your consumer base, I guess?
I mean, I probably, I mean.
You're not turning anyone away.
Well, actually,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe
after
the casual
a stunt
fan,
like this, you don't think anyone's
I don't think that's going to change someone's mind to buy a game.
I do. I absolutely I do. I strongly
disagree. When it comes to Call of Duty, I don't think it has any sway.
I don't think it's fair to generalize like that. I think that there's a lot. Call of Duty has such. It's got like a 35 million player base. Right. Like you can't. That not all of them are just like, you know, college students.
No, I didn't say that. I just, you know, I don't think it's going to hurt them.
Well, I think the diehard fans probably doesn't matter, but that's not who
but
you're targeting.
Yeah, they're targeting people on the fence and people who are not players, and I absolutely could see it turning those people off.
Okay.
But, I mean, obviously, it's person to person. It varies, so. It's
valid.
Yep. But, yeah, so that's interesting. Hopefully, we'll see an apology out of them in the next week or so. We'll keep you guys posted. Speaking of horrible failures and terrible ideas, John.
Hey.
Could you tell us about your experience with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5?
Hey, so I spent a couple hours with Tony Hawk 5 this morning. And, you know, I'm maybe not as hard on it as everyone else is. Make no mistake, it is not good. it is not good. There's some things I like about it. There's some things that I don't like about it. I'd say the silver lining is they're very close to making it feel like the old Tony Hawk games, which...
When it works or all the time?
I've only had it not work for me once, and it was when I was creating a single-player game.
Okay.
Which is
mind-boggling. And what was the error that you said it through? Cannot connect?
Cannot connect to
the server. To your single-player game?
Yep. Cannot connect to the server when I specifically want to do a single-player game. Yeah, I mean, it's mostly worked for me. It has a lot of frame rate issues.
What are you playing it on?
PS4.
Okay, cool.
PS4. It did have a 7 GB day one patch, though, so that's never a great sign. When I think the game is, like, smaller than that.
There were accounts that they had not completed the game by any stretch of the imagination when the discs were being stamped.
Right. Apparently, they did not have the tutorial in there, and they didn't have the create a skate park feature
up
and running.
There's got to be a story that's going to come out about this in a couple months, right?
Now, I haven't played it, but to be clear, John, you are a very nice guy, but a lot of people have a lot of problems.
I am. Thank you, Henry. I am
that.
A very nice
guy.
Well,
I know sometimes it can be hard to critique a lot of this stuff, too, because it is very much nostalgia and near and dear to our hearts. We've been playing these games, Tony Hawk games, since we were, 10?
I'll critique it. I couldn't stand the games.
But it looks like a PlayStation game. I mean, it does. And I know that doesn't matter too much to a lot of people, like you in particular, but... I think to plenty of people who are playing a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One game, they expect... I mean, it looks worse than the first Tony Hawk game for Xbox 360. I mean, it looks bad.
Sure.
Let's talk about Polygon's 8-minute video of... They played for couple hours.
Let's play it and then comment over it for
a
while.
They documented all their issues, and one of them had said that for the first 45 minutes of trying to get the game to work, it kept... getting to the Activision spin screen and then would just stop and crash. And there were a bunch of server issues, and it showed all the problems with just the physics in the game and the characters just getting stuck on invisible objects. And
or falling through the world or going flying off
the
their
stomp
boards
would send
into
them
space.
Through the ground.
Or...
The only thing of those that I've seen so far is flying off the board into space, which I kind of love.
And how long did you say you've played so far?
About 2 hours. Okay. I've played most of the missions in the first two levels.
Sure.
Just... trying to see how the levels or how the mission structure is. I think that its most damning thing is that the levels aren't interesting. Like, they're not memorable.
They did seem very empty.
Honestly, they look like something... It looks like a Greenlight game slapped together in the Unity engine.
Right.
Like, I saw one mission where you're in an empty pool and a bunch of beach balls full of confetti.
Right.
You have to pop them.
That's
looks like garbage.
That's actually one of the more fun missions.
No, sure, but I'm saying, like, the assets look like they were bought on the Unity store.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird.
Yeah. Especially for that game where they had memorable levels like the cruise ship and the foundry and the airport.
There's nothing that feels like a set piece, and I think that's something that's crucial to a Tony Hawk game.
Here's the most important question. Do they have Warehouse Woodland Hills?
No.
You know what they do?
Wait, Warehouse Woodland Hills, like
original level from the first game.
Apparently they have one that's a lot like it. But not exactly. I haven't gotten that far.
It's the perfect level. You can grind for forever.
You know what they do have, Henry, though? They have King Graham from King's Quest and Lil Wayne.
And Octodad, right?
Octodad. You can unlock an Octodad head, which is great.
Yeah, so That's neat.
My dude looks like a salty sea captain.
I'll go pay $60 and buy it.
Well, let's be clear. I'm sure that there is going to be any number of characters in addition to that, because one of the biggest complaints that is coming out about the game is that it is branded to hell. I mean, the trash cans are Mountain Dew trash cans. There's Monster brand decks. There's Monster brand vending machines.
Right.
There's, yeah, GoPro. It is so heavily branded. It's a $60 title.
Right.
And on top of that, I don't know. It drives me mad when
I
see this
always
kind of
branding in Tony Hawk, though.
Yeah, but the Tony Hawk games have traditionally been pretty decent. At very least, they've been worth the money.
You know, in some games, like sports games, branding actually makes it feel more authentic just because there's so much advertising in sports.
When every single trash can in the world is a Mountain Dew trash can, it does not feel authentic.
Yeah, and very fair.
Especially when you're in a very enclosed area.
Very fair.
Plus, this isn't like a super realistic looking or playing game.
No, that.
What about when your skateboard is on fire and you have power-ups?
It's pretty cool.
The power-ups do seem a little bit fun, although I have yet to see them used for the application the developers were teasing, which was like getting to hidden areas and stuff like that. It seems like it's more mission specific.
I haven't seen any hidden areas yet.
Oh.
There's
hidden
like
tapes?
What?
Hidden tapes?
There's a hidden tape and a hidden DVD in each level.
Huh.
And
cute.
Skate and
hidden
combo.
DVDs now.
So,
I'm just saying, if the game had great physics, great graphics, I think you could get over the commercialization. It's just if it's a bad game. Plus,
sure.
Yeah.
That's my point, though. That is literally my point. Is that not only is it not a very well-made game, and as we just discussed, was not finished at shit when they were stamping the discs, they're also squeezing every possible dime out of it. I mean, there's a reason King Graham and Octodad and stuff are in it, I'm sure, and it's that they're probably being paid to
be in there. Well, they're active. I mean,
King's Quest is a Sierra thing, which
is owned by Activision. Octodad, they might have been distributed by Activision.
I guess I wouldn't know.
Not sure.
But also look to how silent they were. No review copies went out. No.
But yeah, it did go streamers got copies,
which
though.
Which is bogus.
Well, let's be honest, okay? Like, this is, I can't remember who it was, but I saw somebody say something like this. I would give credit if I could, but, and this is the impression I've gotten of it too, is it is Tony Hawk's Goat Simulator. Like, that's what it plays like to a big extent, is it plays like a game like Goat Simulator, except it's not an inside joke.
Yeah.
Like, which is rough. I mean, in to the point of even the animations and when the physics go crazy is very reminiscent of Goat Simulator.
Physics after you crash, that's fine. Like, if your body's going to ragdoll, like, that kind of stuff is fine with me. It's, for Tony Hawk, you need to, the grinding has to feel right. When you're going up on a vert ramp and you're coming back down and you're reverting, like that timing has to be right.
Yep.
They messed up grinding with the stomp mechanic. So whenever you hold triangle or Y or whatever your preferred console is, you slam your board down to
from the air.
Yeah, from the air to try to catch a rail. But most of the time, I'm cooking the triangle button.
Right.
Like waiting for my grind to happen. And it just completely messes up anything that I'm planning.
Sure. And that seems, to me, that's almost the most damning thing, is it sounds like they bound grind, which you do while you're in the air usually, to another in-air function.
I would have been fine with that if they mapped it to like one of the triggers or something like that. Something that's not
It to the jump button, because once you're in the air, you can't jump again anyways.
Trying to think.
Stop with your logic.
I mean,
yeah, that's true. That's
right?
True.
Yeah, just do it to a button that you can't interact with while you're in the air.
Yeah.
It just seems ridiculous to me. Because, I mean, as much as you can grind, ride up a quarter pipe and grind the top of it, like, for the most part, I feel like you are going from in the air to grinding.
Right, right.
So, I don't know. That's interesting. So, yeah, basically, the general consensus seems to be avoid it like the plague.
Yeah. I'm gonna try to play more of it, see if the levels get more interesting. There's a mountain level that looks like a downhill jam sort of thing.
Sure.
So,
would you say it's fair to say, though, too, that you might be giving it a little more benefit of the doubt since you didn't spend $60 on it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And that's why I spent
$3 at Redbox or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm renting it currently, so haven't spent the whole $60 yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they start patching that thing, I think they could get it feeling right. They need to patch in some ground tricks, too, because those are gone.
Yeah, that was it. Well, you can manual, right?
You can manual, but then you can't do any of the regular spinning, ground tricks, any of that stuff.
See,
that was my go-to.
Yeah, this is what I don't understand, is this mechanically, graphically, and in terms of the physics, it's a step down across the board. Multiple releases of Tony Hawk games steps down.
Actually, one of the other pillars for me is the soundtrack. There's like 10 songs or so, and you can't choose which song that's playing.
Are they at least like songs from classic Tony Hawk games or anything?
Can you play your own music?
Nope.
All right.
I mean, you can if you have a stereo nearby.
Yeah, and it's not coming to PC either, right?
No plans that I've heard of.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because I gotta say, I've always wished that they would bring those to PC. You can play with a controller on PC.
The Tony Hawk HD one that came out a couple years ago.
But that was bad,
too. But wasn't that just as bad as this?
So, this feels a lot better than that one, which is good.
That's good.
That's my point of comparison for Robomoto's Tony Hawk games.
Fair enough.
So, they're at least on the right track there.
Wait, so this is the same team?
Same team that did the HD one.
How did they not fire them after the HD one?
Because they're cheap?
I mean, they might have ruined that franchise. I don't, maybe they'll come out with a great game and it'll come back, but there was a built-in audience for that.
I don't think they will. I think Tony Hawk 5 was testing the waters to see if the franchise would continue or not. I mean, how much money has Tony Hawk invested in this stuff?
Tony Hawk's been paid on this.
Well, I'm sure he was paid for a long time, but I'm sure at this point he wants to get his name back out there.
They had like a 10-year deal with him.
Yeah. Actually, that reminds me. I had heard some speculation that this may actually be the equivalent of the Fantastic Four movies, where they're just trying to keep their copyright from expiring, which would explain the lack of quality.
That's just ridiculous.
But so what I've kind of seen in the last few days about Tony Hawk is that people still care about the franchise and they want something good from it.
God, I love Tony Hawk
games. Yeah, I've put hundreds of hours into the first four, actually the first six games, I guess, including Thug and Thug 2.
I mean, they're comparable, I think, to kind of the Guitar Hero craze.
Right.
Like, it's the same, like, that was a huge fad that exploded for like a decade almost.
But I would go through every character, level them up, go through every level, get the secret characters, level them up. And just play for, like, hours after that, too, just because it was fun. Put on space physics and big head mode and all that stuff.
I used to just free skate in Project 8 for hours and just, like, watch stuff on Netflix in my dorm.
I used to play horse with my friends. Horse isn't in here.
Yeah, and also, it does sound odd. It sounds like all your objectives are doubled up. Hidden cassette and hidden disc, combo and skate.
So,
why combo and skate?
So combo, you actually have to do a combo while you're collecting those.
Oh, okay.
That's been around for a while.
Sure.
Those objectives are on every level in the free skate mode. If you go into a mission, like there's like maybe 20 missions that you can run on each level. Those are separate and they instance you off. So,
oh wow,
it's really dumb because they'll load you into a level. You'll have other people skating in that level, and then you'll choose a mission from your mission select thing, which most people are just standing there going into their menu instead of actually going to the mission in the level.
I had seen, actually, that that's one of the big problems, is that people are having problems loading into the missions when they go to the marker.
So you have this online connected level, and then when you go into a mission, they put you into your own level. So, like, what's the point of skating with other people if you're just going to be alone the whole time?
That's ridiculous.
It doesn't make sense. Also, it takes, like, it loads it. Then it shows your character. You can start skating, and then it'll stop you to bring up, like, the, are you sure you want to do this mission?
Oh,
and then load again from there.
I guess it just occurred to me. You have to load into each mission?
You have to load into each mission.
I thought we were past, like, ridiculous overloading at this point. Oh, God.
It's really bad. It's really bad. Like, there are things that I like, but it's not good, guys.
I just want to say before we move on, John, I'm so proud of you.
Why?
Because you just said
it's
really
not good.
Bad.
It's really bad.
I'm really happy to hear
it's
that.
It's really bad. It scratches that itch, but it's really bad.
Right.
And I feel like a terrible person for slightly enjoying it.
Sure.
No, but I mean, I feel like you could have an Xbox Live Arcade game that has like five levels for $5 and people would... you know what I mean? That's all you have to create to
Why I say I feel like this game should have been like 30, because it feels like a budget game.
Yeah. It really it does. It looks and feels like a budget game.
Yep.
And actually, what they should have done is made it 30 and then had it be a platform. And then you can pay more for new stuff over time.
Because it already feels like they
online.
Just went into the character or the skate park creator and created all their levels in there.
Right. I actually have
that's
already.
How bad their levels
no,
are.
It's bad. I have seen the best levels that I've seen by far, the most professionally made levels, have been user created. I mean, I've seen some really cool user created stuff.
And a lot of those are based on the levels that they already have.
Yeah.
But like, you go into the second level, it's a beach, everything's weirdly symmetrical. Like, there's nothing interesting to look at. There's nothing interesting to do.
How do you skateboard on a beach?
There's a boardwalk.
Okay,
there's
I was going to say, like, just skating through the sand, you know?
Yeah, it's...
Take the wheels off.
Yeah. It's just not memorable just go at surfing. All. So, that's... It sucks.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess we'll all stay away from that one.
I'll take this bullet, guys.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Let us know if it turns out at the end that they're just like, we've just been trolling you, here's the real game.
That'd be so good.
It'd be amazing.
It turns out it's just Skate 4.
Well, yes. Let's lighten things up a little bit here. With some awesome news. You guys, I'm so proud of the whole community. We spoke out and we did it. Square Enix has canceled Deus Ex Mankind Divided's pre-order bonus program. No longer are we going to do that augment your pre-order nonsense. Basically, what they said was, so for those who don't know, they had a system in place where the more people pre-ordered, the more pre-order bonuses were unlocked, and you at certain tiers, you had to choose from one or another item, and if you got the final tier, then the game released 4 days early. After massive outcry, like massive, massive outcry, Square actually had to come out and say, oh yeah, okay, so we listened to you guys, we were quote-unquote trying to create a better system because you guys usually complain when we split up pre-order bonuses between vendors. So what we're going to do instead is if you pre-ordered the game, you get everything. If you buy it day one, you get everything. And also, it will be releasing the 4 days early regardless. Also, you no longer have to choose between bonuses. When I say everything, I mean even the stuff that was either or, you get both of. Which really tells us that this was completely a fabricated system.
Yeah.
I think people would have been just as happy if they just said, okay, no pre-order bonuses then.
Yep.
And this is not as egregious as Tony Hawk, but it's the same thing. It feels like there was so much momentum in that series, and they actually picked up new people who probably didn't play, you know, Deus Ex, the first one.
I don't know if I'd agree that there's a lot of momentum behind Deus Ex. I mean, I think there's some excitement to see what the second entry will be, but, I mean, besides the first one, which is the first Deus Ex in like 14 years or whatever, it was.
But I feel like that game was
two terrible mobile ports.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I forgot about the mobile.
Yeah,
ones,
we've had two mobile ports, and on top of that, it was critically acclaimed. But it's also been what, 4 or 5 years now since that came out.
It might be longer.
I mean, I don't have when I'm walking, you know, talking with my casual gamer friends, nobody ever brings up Deus Ex, let alone knows how to pronounce it.
At least for me, like
I just mispronounced.
I like the last game. I never really expected there to be another one,
me
and
neither.
That there is. It's like. That's awesome. Like, I'm looking forward to it, but it's not, like, top of my list.
Exactly.
They basically came out before and said there wasn't going to be another one. And
yeah.
And they were like, you know what? There's a pretty big cult following the director's...
And then they made that iPad game. And
well, the fall, cuts. Yeah. But the director's cut
I think it's
got
the director's cut.
A lot of attention. They're like, oh, you know
what?
There's something here.
It.
Yeah. Because I had been telling you to play it for a while.
Even though I will say I still had some issues with the director's cut. As much as it was cool that they added in quote-unquote non-lethal options for the bosses... A turret is not exactly a non-lethal option. And
does it shoot rubber bullets?
It's not you shooting it.
Well, and it's like, it was very much like a, you could tell it was a patch job. I really hope that they learn their lesson this time, and there's two things they need to learn going forward. We got the pre-order thing, so I just hope that they also know, one, cannot be like the ending of the first game with binary choices. They had a very Mass Effect 3 ending to
very
that
much.
Game. What color do you want?
Yellow or black?
Yes.
Those are the only...
Black and yellow.
In there.
Yes, exactly. And then on top of that, or the only other thing is, I think that people very much want to see more of the sort of political side of things. I think that was by far, well, personally, I thought the most interesting thing about Deus Ex is the world that they've created. And I love the idea of, like, the haves and have-nots, and, like, people augmented, like, because they're rich and they just want to have better bodies, and people who are augmented because they've lost limbs, like that juxtaposition. There is a really cool world out there, and I really hope that they kind of broaden the scope a little bit beyond the sort of guided tours of Hong Kong and was it Detroit?
Yeah.
Yep. That we got from the first game.
I think you're right. They could actually make the physical levels better. I mean, I don't know if they're going full, like, you know, sandbox, or if it's going to be kind of linear like that other game, but or like the Human Revolution. But I think, to your point, like, there was that one lady, if you remember, who had to get the augmentation to get through school or something like that, and she needed the money. I feel like they could do more stuff like that, where there's kind of, like, moral implications, and you're not necessarily right or wrong.
And I think that's what this is going to be. I mean, let's be honest. This is basically going to be, like, a race war, is what this is. It's mankind divided into the augmented and non-augmented. It's going to be very much like, I'm sure, like, Doomsday Sayers and stuff like that. I'm super excited, especially because I feel like this is a very... poignant sort of
we live in a very divided time, and I think this is going to speak to a lot of people, especially Americans, which is cool. I'm still excited. I'm really happy to hear that the pre-order program has been changed, and you guys have literally no excuse now. Do not pre-order it. You can buy – it's a digital game. They're not going to run out. You can buy it day one and get all of the bonuses after you've seen the reviews.
But I like throwing my money at things I can't get till a couple months out.
You have
not
that
even the facetious argument, because let's remember, it's us not pre-ordering is the only reason that we're in this good position now. Do not ruin it by just pre-ordering anyways. We need to send a message to
developers.
What
if they make a new augment your pre-order?
Just cycle through that until
the second one.
Then I say we start an augment your face campaign.
Before we go on to what we've been playing, I'd like to make a plug for a service we all enjoy. Humble Bundle is introducing a pretty great new feature. It is called Humble Monthly, and it's taken a page out of Loot Crate's book. For those of you that don't know, Humble Bundle is a pay what you want for charity and you get a bunch of games.
Yep.
So for $12 a month, you will get first Friday of every month, you get a bunch of games sent to your inbox.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign up now, you get Legend of Grimrock 2 immediately. But basically, you keep them forever. You can subscribe and unsubscribe whenever you want, and it should be interesting. They are promising that the value is going to be far beyond what they have done with their regular bundles.
And for the record, guys, that's insane. For those of you who weren't here for, I think, my first or second week, the last Humble Bundle I purchased was the Square Enix Humble Bundle, where I got about $275 worth of games for $10.
So the only downside I see from this is that 5% is going to charity instead of having you choose your slider.
Yeah,
because like
normally
bundles.
I give about 90% of money
right,
to
and
charity.
That's something I think that they might need to fix.
Yeah, but besides that...
Obviously, they are a company, too. They're trying to make money. But
yeah, exactly.
Let's be real here. If their whole thing is kind of like we give whatever you want to charity based on what you buy...
Right.
Like, they should do that for this, too.
I agree completely. And my only other concern is, I'll be honest, as great as the deals on the Humble Bundle are, first of all, I'm not a huge fan of the selection generally on the Humble store. Like, it doesn't have everything.
Oh, the store
everything.
Is disappointing.
And the other thing is, about 90% of Humble Bundles really aren't worth getting. And so I would just fear that with the subscription, I can't remember what the bundle is right this second, but I remember looking over it and just going, wow, there might be one game on there worth getting, and it's not worth $10. So, yeah.
But they usually have things that are targeted towards different demographics.
That's very true, because it's usually, but my point being, if you're like a core gamer, there's probably one in every 15 Humble Bundles or so is one that you should really get.
Sure. Right.
Or games like Square Enix played. Or Deep Silver or THQ or something like that.
But they also have things like books, music,
yes,
mobile games, which sometimes they cross over with Steam games, too.
Which, by the way, Apple users should know that all their mobile games are only for Android. Yeah, because you cannot give away codes for Apple Store stuff like that in bundles.
Yeah, I think they're just allocated codes like...
Yeah, I've actually heard that the way they come by some of their codes for that for like the mobile stuff is a little gray markety, but it's better than what's the Steam keys or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, so definitely check that out. Are you going to be subscribing to it, Max? Because if you are, we can check
it
with you.
I think I'll see what their first actually. I was going to see what the first release is going to... No, like after, and see what they give out. But what if they give out some really cool stuff for the first one?
Well, and here's the thing.
I can...
It's $12.
I know, I can do $12 to see what happens.
Breaking a bank.
Yeah, and you guys can feel free, to just send us money, and we'll just pay for it on you guys' time. No problem. We'll all check it out.
We'll send you Monopoly money.
Yeah, my favorite kind of money. All right, so that pretty much wraps up the news for this week. Let's move on to what we've been playing.
And we've been playing some fun stuff.
Yeah, we have, actually. There's been some pretty good games released, and just kind of... I think everybody's got a little bit of free time still going on before all the really big holiday releases start, so we're all filling out our back catalogs. So, let's get things started with Tom. Tom, you've been kind of quiet today. What have you been playing this week?
Yeah, so I've been playing through Destiny. That's been the main one, and Dragon Age, which obviously Dragon Age is an older game, but... Yeah, I haven't gotten into Taken King. I played through the first two DLC, and I think they still play pretty well.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is that, first of all, my friend's been playing Destiny since day one, never took a break. I just got back into it, and I feel like we both have something to do, and it's not as though because of that divide, I can't play with him or whatever.
Right.
And especially for a game that I feel like, and again, I haven't played through the Taken King content, but once you get through that stuff, I feel like you're still back into a grinding phase. At least you can grind and everyone's kind of benefiting from going to various locations and doing what we're doing there.
Yeah, because if your friend's a higher level than you, like, they're getting different item drops from you anyways. So, and it's all based on their light level.
Yeah, so I'll play through the Taken King in the next week and kind of give you my take on that one. But it seems like everything I heard about it, I like. It really, they did the right thing, making it easy to level up. I think in two or three sessions, I've gotten from like 22 to 36. So, I mean, you can get through, you know, even if you kind of, like, I gave up on the light system, you can get back into it and get your guy level back up. I do like that they give you the spark because I want to try the warlock. And so I can go right to 25 and then.
Yeah, the spark is the free character boost, right?
Yeah, which brings you right to 25. So,
what's your main?
My main one's a Titan. And I actually like the Titan. I'm just curious about the other classes.
Have you got your hammers yet?
I haven't. Because is that a level 40 thing or what?
No, I think it's a couple missions into the Taken King.
Okay, and I haven't. See, I've played through, what is it, the House of Wolves and then the, what's the other one called?
Dark Below.
So I played through those two things. And they were fine. I think the Taken King's would be better. But I don't know. It's the game I kind of wanted when it first released. And I know everyone's saying that, but I'm really happy they've done that.
Good.
The other thing is the Crucible. I like that they... Now, some of those game modes I haven't completely figured out, but I like that they offer a lot more game modes because the replayability is much, much better.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like there's a lot more stuff to mix it up, which seems really cool. I was just talking to John before the show about how I had heard about the hidden exotics. Can you fill us in a little bit about that?
Yeah, so last week they... Well, every day they have a daily heroic that you can go on. Last week they had one where if you went through it at a certain speed and you got to this door, it would be open where it would normally be closed. You go in and you fight like a horde of super hard enemies. If you beat them within 10 minutes or so, you get an exotic, which is really cool.
A unique exotic.
Unique,
right?
Exotic. Yep. So it's a...
I guess that's redundant. It was still.
It was a sniper rifle that no one had seen yet. And it's something for those people who want to play at a higher level and figure out.
It's something that can keep you coming back beyond just like do these hundreds of keys I have go to these chests. You can also be like, okay, well, it's worth redoing these old heroics or whatever, or these old dungeons, because I might be able to find an exotic that's really, really good and was not expecting it at all.
Right. They put it out there like anything can happen. Like,
exactly.
You can find anything anywhere.
Great way to keep people playing even if there aren't any more hidden weapons.
Yep.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I think in general the drops and stuff are better, and you realize how well the game was originally made. I feel like you take that for granted when there's nothing to do. I think the graphics and just kind of how they made those boards and stuff.
It's a pretty game.
Well, and just even the Crucible levels. I feel like, the pinch points.
If I roll my eyes any harder, they're going to come out of my head. God.
You didn't like... What are you getting at there?
Year one was not a fantastic framework. I mean, that's why they had to change basic system.
What I'm saying is it was a good-looking game with... like interesting levels and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
Certainly, yes. On my worst day, I won't debate that Destiny doesn't have incredibly gorgeous and
that's what I was trying to say. I framed it wrong, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah, good environments, and I felt like with all these different Crucible levels, it's nice to go back and be like, yeah, actually, they designed this pretty well. It just got boring when you're doing the same thing over and over again.
Then you should really like The Taken King, because like watching my roommate play a lot, like he spends so much time in the Vault of Glass and stuff, which is a year one raid, correct?
Right.
And so like now it's empty, though, and it's different, and you're doing daily quests in the raid.
And that's what they've done well.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I do like that. That's something that I will say not even WoW really did. You didn't revisit dungeons except in Cataclysm when they completely redid them.
No, it was never like, oh no, Gul'dan's going to the Black Temple in our time. What is he going to do there? And now it's like, oh, the Taken have gone into the Vault of Glass. Like, we don't need them getting near the Vex. Like, that'd be a terrible, terrible thing. I think that's really cool that they're going back to do that.
Very neat. So, Taken King continues to interest us all, and hopefully we're going to hear about more of the endgame stuff. I'm very excited to talk to people once my roommate is about a day away from getting his exotic sword. And I love the sword, so I can talk about that a little bit next week. But for now, Max, what have you been playing this week?
So I did in the
vein of October and Halloween, picked up Soma. And the game is very, very widely well-received. It is the creators of Amnesia, The Dark Descent.
That good one.
Not the Chinese Rooms.
That's what I said.
Machine for Pigs. But, yeah, so it is a game that I won't talk too much about the plot because everything is pretty spoilery. But mechanics-wise, it's very similar to Amnesia. You can pick up numerous objects, rotate them, investigate them.
Can you carry a chair with you everywhere like
you
I
can,
did?
You can. You can. throw things, break things with the things you throw, distract enemies with the things you throw. It becomes a game about throwing things to an extent because there's no combat. You're either running, hiding, or distracting. There are some pretty cool puzzles. Again, spoilery. But, yeah, it's kind of like a more morbid, darker version of BioShock. It's a psychological game more so than horror, although that is still there, the gore and the creepiness.
So but darker than which BioShock are you talking
about? The original?
About? Oh, yeah,
darker than the original BioShock?
Yeah. Yeah, like there's
darker
some
darker than a city full of murdered people. Wow.
It is a
power of little girls.
Yeah, where you literally like basically steal the stem cells out of children.
So, but I'm gonna bring up a topic. Let me know if it's too spoilery for it.
Yes.
So if anybody cares about the story of Soma.
I'm about to freak out.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I haven't started it yet, and I really, really want to see how
if you're going to talk about how the game starts, I would not.
No, not how it starts, but they play with robots in interesting ways, correct?
Yes. It's supposed to be about the human condition and where we
AIs
can go in life
and
things like
that.
Yes.
Okay.
And as far as the setting, because I didn't preface my BioShock comment, but it is an underwater mining facility platform.
Okay, got it.
But no, the same idea where like bad things are going on and a bunch of dead bodies and all that.
So is it accurate? I've been hearing a lot of reports saying it's not really a traditional just survival horror. It's more of like a psychological horror.
I would say more psychological than survival, and it is a linear experience. With The Dark Descent, you had a lot of exploration and kind of uncovering the story. In this game, you're never really questioning, okay, where am I supposed to go next, or like the diverging paths or anything like that.
I'm actually okay with that. Normally,
as am I.
Almost every other genre, I'm not. But in especially horror games, I think pacing is vital. There is nothing that takes you out of a horror game. You guys remember walking around Silent Hill for hours with your items trying to figure out where you're supposed to go, and it's just like all tension is gone. Now I'm just angry. I'm not scared anymore. And like, I think it's very important to have a good guide when you're playing a horror game so that you can keep the mood the same. And so I'm really glad to hear that. Gosh, I cannot wait to try it out. It sounds like it's a real blast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. So I've played some games this week as well.
You don't say.
Yeah, I know. Shocking. I think the big one would be the release from, I think it was this week, Cities Skylines After Dark, the new expansion.
Yeah, what did
Cities
you think?
Skylines. It's pretty great. If you like City Skylines, you'll like After Dark. The biggest introduction is obviously it added a day-night cycle. It looks gorgeous. This is some of the first time I've played as well since like a month or two after release, and they have completely, like, it runs like a dream now. Like, they've really worked out a lot of the bugs and stuff like that. Your city looks gorgeous at night. All the lights come on and stuff, and it's very neat. And then also, you can now, like, nighttime has different characteristics than daytime. It's not just like an effect. So you actually have different budget sliders during the day and night for like electricity and water, for example, because like power consumption goes up at night.
Makes sense.
And stuff like that. Yeah, which is nice. Crime goes up at night, that kind of thing. So you can increase your budget for the police force during those hours. But by and large, it's kind of more of the same. If you liked City Skylines, you'll like this. And I would say it continues to impress as the replacement for SimCity, and I will not be looking back anytime soon. You been playing anything else this week, John?
There's this game called Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5.
I heard it was killer.
It's
great graphics, great physics.
This is the best game of the year.
No commercials.
Game of the year, buy it.
You guys are hilarious.
Throw $120 at it.
All right, what else?
I was watching some videos online, and I did not know about this game, but one of my favorite games growing up is Mega Man X.
Yeah, definitely.
There's this game on Steam. It's in early access currently. It's called 20XX. It is a Mega Man X roguelike. So it's pretty cool. So you have all the same controls as Mega Man X. You have your dash. You have your wall jumps.
Wall jumps.
You have your charge beam or charge buster. And you're just going through randomly generated levels that end with a boss.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of that level, you get the choice of getting that boss's weapon or gaining more health or more currency.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you have a list of three bosses that you can go to after that, and it just keeps on continuing. You'll gain different power-ups, like there's a plumber's hat that makes you jump higher, or a ninja headband that makes you move faster.
Oh, I'm getting this. Is this for PC?
Yeah, it's for PC. Thank God. It's on Steam. Right now, it's like, I want to say it's $12 because it's in early access.
I'm
watching the video on Steam right now, and holy crap, it looks amazing.
Right. So from what I've heard, it's feature complete. It's just some of the multiplayer stuff is jacked.
I can live without that.
Oh, I could give a damn about multiplayer.
Yeah, exactly.
This is amazing.
So you have two characters you can play as. You can play as Nina, who is basically Mega Man X. And then you can play as another character that's essentially Zero, that has sword attacks. It seems it's really, really fun so far.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
Well, see you guys later.
I really like the fact that it looks like it's like the 16-bit graphics, except for like the particle effects, like elements and stuff, mm-hmm. look like they are real, like splash effects and stuff.
It almost looks cool. like a flash game. I think the characters, like the main characters, are a little bit too animated and bouncy.
That was true of the Mega Man X games.
That's
though,
personal
too.
Preference. Like they'll just stand there and kind of like.
I mean,
wiggle.
Zero you know what's kinda... is pretty notorious for having bobbing shoulders.
Oh, sure, sure.
And
but like Mega Man's usually. Yeah. I guess I'm usually in motion with Mega Man.
Yeah,
but
I know what you mean. I can appreciate that.
But the levels seem pretty well put together when they're randomly generated. But
that's what I wanted to ask. Yep. So my big thing is the thing that makes Mega Man games so amazing is that they're excellent platformers in addition to being action games. Is the random generation good?
It's pretty good. They'll have parts of levels where it's clearly like a challenge for platforming. They'll have like the disappearing. Ledges and
Cloud
stuff
Man.
Like that,
yeah,
like the Cloud Man stage. It feels like Mega Man. It doesn't necessarily look like Mega Man in a lot of the levels, and the bosses are almost like bosses in Rogue Legacy. It almost feels like Mega Man X Rogue Legacy.
That's interesting because I thought the weakest part of Rogue Legacy was the boss fights.
There's one boss that reminds me of Rogue Legacy, but there's some of the other ones feel more like Mega Man.
Gotcha.
So the only thing that I'm worried about is there's only a set amount of bosses.
Yeah.
Like, how's that going to pan out
over
time?
Sure, sure. One last question. Yeah. What kind of, how can I put this? What kind of progression does it have? Like, is it a roguelite or a roguelike? Is it completely from scratch when you die? Well, so the main thing is if you go, like, Rogue
Legacy.
I always
hear those two phrases.
Roguelite is, well, technically roguelike is supposed to be literally something like rogue.
It's like rogue.
But
what I say.
Nowadays, the vernacular seems to have become more, there's roguelikes, which are basically like Iron Man mode, where you lose everything when you die.
Sure.
And then there's roguelites, like Rogue Legacy, for example, where you have permanent progression outside of each individual life.
Both. So you'll unlock items that you get with these soul nuts.
That's great.
Like nuts and bolts. So you'll get soul nuts. And then after your run, if you die, you have a choice of three items to purchase permanently.
Okay.
That will go into your random items that you can run into during your run.
Okay, cool.
So it's kind of like Binding of Isaac in that.
Yeah,
in
I was just going to say, that sounds like Binding.
You don't keep it going on to your next run. I mean, you don't.
You unlock it permanently, though, right?
Right. Okay, so you can run into it.
Neat.
Ziggurat
does that as well.
Yep. So you don't start off with anything going into a run, but that's fine. Most of the bosses, at least, they seem to get progressively harder, which is good.
Do you only get upgrades from bosses, or can you also find them? Like,
you can
randomly
find them.
Okay. So it's not like there are X bosses and that means there are the same number of upgrades.
There's like crates and stuff that you can find during the level.
Cool.
There's little shops that you can spend other nuts.
This sounds really good. I'm going to have to check this out.
It's worth the $12.
Oh, yeah.
And for like the hour that I played today, I'm going to spend like another 3 or 4 tonight on it.
Sound like a clown.
Easily.
Can't wait to check it out. All right. Sweet, sweet, sweet. All right. Tom, have you played anything else this week?
Dragon Age, but that's everyone's been playing Dragon Age, or has played Dragon Age.
Sure, probably. But how are you liking it? Like, what do you think?
I mean, I still like it. I kind of wonder once I play The Witcher if it's, you know, if that's going to ruin it. That's
sure,
kind of what
as
I've
you've
heard.
Mentioned, which makes sense. I mean, at this point, let's be honest, like, you're not going to be playing The Witcher till next year because Fallout 4 is going to come out well before you even start The
yeah,
Witcher.
So my goal there is to finish Dragon Age before Fallout comes out.
Yeah,
so
that seems more realistic.
Yeah,
I think.
And this, I mean, maybe this is more of the interesting discussion is whether or not I try to kind of fit Metal Gear Solid in there, because I didn't think much about that game until you, really it's when John said, hey, look, it's not like a Metal Gear game, it's
yeah.
like Fallout 3.
Yeah. Honestly, you probably wouldn't suffer too much if you held off on that one, too, because that is a long, long game, mm-hmm. and you are
yeah.
not doing it right if you rush through it.
That's almost a game that you can have going in the background.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Just go
right
back
now.
For a mission and...
I've been playing it over 4 weeks now, and I really, like, I haven't really made much progress. I hit 40 hours, like I told you guys, mm-hmm. or I think it might have been 30 at the time, but yep. I'm probably maybe 45 hours into it now. I just, like, jump in, raid a base or two, or do a yep. side op or two, and then just get out.
And each mission is structured like an episode of a TV show, so...
Credits and all.
Credits and all.
God,
so, credits at the beginning, credits at the end, you could just stop there
does
and then
the,
go.
The cheesiness, because I'm not, like, a Metal Gear... Or sorry, yeah, Metal Gear Solid. I'm not a, you know, like I played Snake Eater and that was
sure.
it.
Is Me
that
too.
Does
Best
that
game?
Yeah, does that really take good. Away from it though? Like kind of the cheesiness, or do you enjoy it? Does it kind of like build
Metal
on
Gear
it?
Solid 5 isn't actually very cheesy at all.
No,
it certainly
they have
has
silly
some,
things,
and silly also is definitely in the eye of the beholder. Because I'm sure there are people out there who would say Quiet is a silly. Like,
oh,
character,
absolutely.
And I think a lot of people, me included,
I'm thinking
would
more
say,
like you have a walking tank that can uppercut people.
Well, even the box that you
sure.
can like, slide.
I guess I never. You know, funny enough, because Metal Gear takes itself so seriously.
Yep.
D. Walker did not strike me as even remotely silly. I was just, oh yeah, it makes sense.
Or you can sled. You could sled in your cardboard box.
Oh, I love
really
doing that.
Is
oh,
that the
God.
Bowling videos that have been going around?
Yeah,
that's
yeah, where
good.
You set up a bunch of target yeah. dummies.
And it seems like it allows you to kind of mess around with it, plant C4 on people, and like it doesn't take itself that seriously, which I like.
Sure.
I just kind of like the one thing about Fallout 3 is as much as there were kind of flaws in it, and they really came out in Fallout 4. It felt realistic in some sense, and I guess I kind of wonder if even the Fultoning and stuff, like if that takes it away, or do you guys kind of enjoy it even after hours and hours of playing?
You'll never stop enjoying it.
Yeah,
that.
I like Fultoning mainly because there's that element of I want to collect this guy because of his stats.
Well, and it's
just fun.
Always funny.
Yep.
Oh
it's
my
such
God,
a good way
so
to
funny.
Clean out the area, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
And actually, I found a really good strategy is like... If you're far enough away, you can basically just chain everyone by Fultoning one of them, and he'll try and shoot the balloon down, and if he doesn't get to it soon enough, he'll run over to see what happened, and you can just Fulton him, and then his buddy is like tries to shoot him down, fails. So there's a strategy to using all of that stuff. It never gets too gamey because they really went insane with the details. There's so many details. Like I said, stuff down to when you Fulton a cargo shipping container, you can, if you stand on top of it, it will quick trip you back to your base.
Yeah,
normally you have to call in a helicopter.
Yeah.
Players are like rewarded for experimentation.
And you can drop like vehicles on people's stuff, right?
Yep. I like dropping supply drops on dudes. It just like knocks them out cold.
So that's my thing, is I just want to make sure it's not a game where I play the first 20 hours and I'm like, that was fun, and then I'm like, oh, this is kind of getting weird. You know
it,
what I mean?
It
I guess
is
that's
the
okay.
game most deserving yeah. of the moniker sandbox that I've probably yeah. ever played. Like, it is truly
is that because
a sandbox.
It's in Afghanistan and there's a lot of desert?
No. But... I'm in Africa, actually, right now.
Okay.
But no, it's because it really, really does encourage experimentation and making your own rules and all of that.
But definitely, going back to the background, you feel like it's a game that you can return to and you're not going to forget, like, storyline?
Absolutely.
Or...
No,
I think I might be a little bit rusty with the controls, but that's about it.
Okay.
There's,
yeah,
like, recaps
the controls
and
are
stuff in the game, and you can find
but
things in the
just
notes.
Just go into a side op or something, and
yeah.
you'll be fine.
Exactly. Cool. Well, Max?
Yeah, another new release for you guys, The Flame in the Flood. It is a beautiful, fantastic, fun little game by some X2K employees, I believe. So the premise of it is you play a young girl. It is a roguelite. It's basically a river journey through the backwaters of a forgotten post-societal America, per Steam. And some cell shading basically is the look of the game, but
your not so much. Henry disagrees. But as you go from location to location, you are rafting down, like basically the south of the United States has been flooded and it's post-apocalyptic.
Okay.
And you're on this raft. It's like a car with a bunch of tires tied to it. And you have your dog. And so you kind of coast from like island to island. And it's a little reminiscent of Oregon Trail where you're trying to like raft the river and you have to like swerve the rapids and things like that. And, you know, if you fall off the raft, you're going to get wet or break a bone because you hit a rock or what have you. And each time this happens, you have to go land somewhere else and, you know, patch yourself up, find gear to create a bigger backpack, get splints, food, flames, things like that to create, or like, you know, tinder to make a fire. Mm-hmm. There's some enemies like boars and wolves and things you have to watch out for. It is early access right now, so you can't... it's an endless journey right now. The campaign's
okay.
not
no
there. Right.
It.
It's really just how long can you go until you die? And you die in some crazy, unexpected ways. And there's a lot of replayability.
Tickle fights. Some,
exactly.
Yep.
There are tickle fights.
Oh, nice.
DLC.
I just pulled that out of nowhere.
DLC. Just kidding. But every time you die, then it actually shows a map of the river that you went down and how far you made it and the landmarks and encounters you've had and
That's
things
cool.
like that.
So are there like... forking paths that you can take? Or
in the
it...
river, yes. So, like, it probably all leads to the same place because, you know, you'll go down a couple different rapids that branch off, but then it all, like, kind of circles
okay.
back.
Kind of like Outrun.
Right. But here's the thing, though. Depending on where you're at in the river, you don't have... You can't go backwards. You can slow down slightly, and there's kind of, like, a boost where she'll do a strong paddle to mm-hmm. kind of, like, swerve you out of danger. But as you're rafting, it'll like a little thing will come up on the map, like a little blip, and it'll be like, okay, there's a campsite on this side, or there's like forest over here, or there like seems to be some gear floating in the river. So you can try to pick up the gear and try to like swerve towards one of the locations, but you do have to pick which one you want to go for.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it is a punishingly difficult game.
Okay.
You're going to die, and you're going to die a lot, and you're not going to find the gear you need when you need it.
So roguelike.
Yeah, very much so,
cool,
yes.
Cool. That sounds
I will
cool.
say,
I
the soundtrack, though, fantastic guitar, some southern action, and it's very well done.
You said nice. BioShock people made it, right?
2K, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome. All right, well, back to me. I got to play another new release, Assault Android Cactus, which is excellent.
That sounds dangerous.
Yes, it's super dangerous. It is basically...
What is it, Henry?
It's basically a twin-stick shooter, but you play as all these... You're these little android girls who are all named after different plants. So Cactus is one of them. I'm kind of blanking on the rest of their... Lily, I think, is one of them, et cetera, et cetera. So each of them has a primary, secondary weapon, and it plays kind of like a bullet hell meets like twin-stick shooter.
Sure.
So it's very, very fun. The graphics are great. The characters are interesting. It has a campaign to it. You unlock a new character after every boss you fight, and the characters play very differently. For example, I have a girl who has a railgun and a railgun and mines, and then I have another girl who's got a shotgun and sort of an AOE orb, mm-hmm. kind of like the Halo shield that you can put down, except it damages everything in it. And they all play distinctly differently, and you definitely have to choose certain ones to succeed at certain levels. It's very challenging, and it plays fantastically on a PS3 controller, with a little bit of tweaking, as always.
But. So what's this on?
It is for PC.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's for the other consoles.
I haven't seen it on consoles. It almost sounded like a mobile game
mm-hmm.
there for a second.
No, definitely
okay.
not.
Cool.
Definitely
cool.
not. It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it.
How much is that? Do you know?
Gosh, I'm going to have to look it up.
Okay.
I can't remember.
That's fine.
I got you covered. It is $15.
Hey!
It's usually around there.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right, John, cool. back to you. What else you played?
Hey, I'm nearing the end of Box Boy. I might
what
have mentioned
that?
This before. So it's a 3DS game. I think it's $5.99 on the 3DS eShop. But it's a puzzle platformer made by the Kirby folks at HAL Laboratories.
Ooh.
So you're a little box. The main mechanic is you grow boxes out of you to either place down as platforms to jump onto, or you can use it to get almost like grappling hook yourself onto a ledge But you only have so many boxes that you can extend on each level.
Mm-hmm.
You can coat yourself with boxes to not get hurt from like laser beams, or I don't know. It's really imaginative.
Sure, it sounds
platformer.
Like fun.
Like the puzzles are great. It's not super hard. I've had to use the hint system maybe like three times when my brain's just not working. But it's one of the best games I've played on 3DS all year.
That's cool. And I'm a big fan of their like eShop stuff. I remember I played, I think it's SteamWorld Dig or something like that ages ago. And
that's really good.
There are some hidden gems on
that
store.
That's on PC too.
Yeah, I think it just came
like
a year ago
everything.
Or something. But yeah, I played it back in the day when it first came for that. And man, great game.
Yes.
Don't look, or don't just put or assume that some of the third party stuff on the Nintendo eShop is trash, because that's probably some of the best stuff on
there. There is some cool stuff. Like technically, this one is first party Nintendo.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
of course. Sorry. Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of a big surprise for me. It came out, I want to say, in like May or something. It came out earlier in the year, and I've been kind of working on it since then. But getting near the end, it's getting really tough. But if you have a 3DS, drop the $6 on it. It's worth checking out.
Sweet. All right. Tom, I'm assuming we've already gotten all yours.
I think cleared me out, unless you want more Dragon Age action.
No, that is okay. Max, you all good?
I'm all set.
All right. I got a couple more that I can round up here. And John, are you all done as well, or you got a couple?
Have you played Tony Hawk?
Oh my God, guys. All right. So I also got to play a little bit of Orion Trail. This is exactly what it sounds like. It is Oregon Trail in space. It's a lot of fun.
Like FTL?
No. Okay. More like Star Trek than FTL.
Okay.
Like, it is basically a Star Trek spoof, but, I mean, it's totally Oregon Trail. It has more in common with something like Oregon Trail than it does with FTL, just insofar as, like, it's... You're going from hard destination to hard destination, and you can be randomly interrupted along the way. Your resources are food, fuel, and crew, and then you have stats that you are constantly adding to or losing based on the outcome of certain events. You have, like, I think it's attack, diplomacy, bravado, and science, and there's one more I'm blanking on. And these stats will affect your choices you make. So basically it'll be like you... encounter a random alien and they, you know, try and hijack your ship, and then they'll give you three options and how to respond. And each option is tied to one of those stats, like attack or bravado or whatever. Okay. So then based on your level in that, you have something called an improbability drive, which is how it's the dice roll mechanic.
Right.
And basically what it
is the hitchhiker's guide.
Yes. Exactly. The higher level you are in a skill, the more potential good outcomes are added to the improbability drive, and you basically gain or lose resources based on which choice you made. So each choice rewards or loses usually a different resource, which is cool. The story is really cute and compelling, and I don't know. If you like Oregon Trail or Oregon Trail, it's very reminiscent of both. I had a lot of fun playing it. I probably spent about an hour playing it total. I would recommend it.
Okay.
Also,
what else?
I played.
What you got?
I don't know if you guys follow this at all, but there is if you search on Google, it's like free iPhone games or something like that. Reddit, you can find their discounted iPhone like Reddit subreddit thing, and they have all of the daily like free games and stuff. And I came across a game called Steampunk Tower that I'm having a fair amount of fun with. I've only played it for a couple hours, but basically it's a one tower defense. It's steampunk setting, which I enjoy. Mm-hmm. You are like an inventor or like a type guy who's working for essentially like an oil baron. He's like a miner extraordinaire who's got like a big monocle and a top hat and a big old mustache and stuff like that. And you're trying to keep the government away from his mine. And you have, you know, chain guns and stuff on your tower that you build. You can upgrade them. It's pretty typical, but it's fun. I've been having a blast with it. And then last but not least, I played some Corpse of Discovery. This is an interesting one. I would say it's a walking simulator. There's no combat or leveling or anything like that. The premise is, and I really don't want to give too much away because it is, again, a walking simulator. But the premise is there's an intro video where basically the Australian, I think, government is saying, oh, you know, we know that the core of Discovery, that's the pun, by the way, the E is written in blood. It's the core of Discovery. Yeah. They are out charting planets and stuff like that, and one of the explorers has gone missing. And so it's everyone, they're basically saying he knew the risks and we're not going to be sending anyone to catch him. And then the game opens on your character waking up on a planet and being given his final mission. I don't want to spoil anything. It has beautiful environments. The story is actually quite intriguing, and the universe kind of follows its own rules. A quick non-spoilery example is they have hologram videos that you watch for little bits of story. Mm-hmm. And the holograms, they kind of actually thought about it, where I'm assuming the technology of their holograms like scans the front of whoever's talking. And so if you actually walk behind the hologram, they're like, they don't have any data on what the back of the person looks like. It's just like a hollow vector basically on the back. And it's kind of it's just a cool little thing that makes a big difference. Like I said, I don't want to give anything away about the game, but it's neat. If you're into sort of sci-fi space, or not space exploration, but like planetary exploration, mm-hmm. with diverse and beautiful environments that to me were kind of reminiscent of something like No Man's Sky, what we've seen of that so far, I'd recommend checking it out.
Can you walk faster than in that PS4 game?
It depends. Are you holding the run button?
Even run when you hold the run button.
Can you duck?
It controls just fine.
Okay.
The main mechanics are basically that you have a jump and a boost jump that you can use midair, and you are essentially doing some just kind of freeform platforming. I didn't have any issues with the controls when I played it. Cool. So I had fun, and like Max just said, it really is quite a looker. Mm-hmm. And that actually wrapped things up for what I've played this week. John, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Not that I can think of. That's really all I've got so far.
All right. Well, that's going to pretty much wrap things up today. So thanks for listening, you guys. This has been the Video Game Podcast from Cold Omaha. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the show, and please be sure to check us out on Audioboom and iTunes and leave a rating or a review. Thank you, and as always, game on.